Trying to see if I can record. All right. Well, Tom Venuto, thank you very much for joining me. You guys, anybody listening in, you're listening in with Girl With No Name from girlwithnoname.com. And I'm here with Tom Venuto. And welcome, Tom, to the interview. Really appreciate you having you here.
My pleasure. In fact, I wouldn't miss it because you have more Twitter followers than Ashton Kutcher, so I figure if you tweet this, I'll be famous.
I don't think I have as many as Ashton Kutcher, but
you're close.
Getting close. So anybody who isn't familiar with Tom, Tom is the author of Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle, and Body Fat Solution, two awesome fitness resources that I tap into all the time. But Tom, just in case there's some people listening in who are only hearing about you for the first time today, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. Well, pretty much I've been in the fitness business my whole life and worn just about every hat there is. I got my degree in exercise science and then worked as a trainer, and then I worked as a health club manager for many years, and then I got really interested in research and writing, and so today I'm a full-time author and a freelance writer, an internet publisher with a lot of websites and communities online, and a fat loss coach. And I've written about 400 articles and two books on fat loss. And I'm also a natural bodybuilder. I've been training since 1984, and I've been competing since 89, and that's about 28 competitions. I compete mostly in the natural federations, but I've also competed in the NPC Open as a lifetime natural bodybuilder. And some of the contests I've won was Natural New Jersey, Natural Pennsylvania, Natural New York State, Natural Mid-Atlantic States, NPC Natural Eastern Classic. Still working on that pro card or national title, but yeah, I'm still young, right?
That's right. And you look fantastic, by the way.
Thank you.
So just to get into the books that we just mentioned, I know you've got some pretty exciting things in the works right now, one of them being this great contest that's coming up, and we're definitely going to get all the scoop from you about that. But first, I'd like to talk to you about something that's near and dear to my heart for a few years now, and that's your books. I've read both of your books, and I totally love them both. And anybody on my blog who follows me on my blog over at girlwithnoname.com does know that. And as a matter of fact, your first book, Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle, was instrumental in getting me where I am now, and it's become one of my workout Bibles. So I just was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about the concepts behind this book and why these concepts work so well.
Yeah, thanks. Well, when I was a full-time trainer years ago, I used to always give my clients written materials about nutrition to take home and to read, because I figured that if they ate too much junk or too much of anything, really, when they went home, then all the work we were doing in the gym would be for nothing. So over the years, I kept building on that written material. At first, it was just like flyers and handouts, and then eventually I started putting it into a three-ring binder until eventually I had this manual, a nutrition manual, and I would give that to all my clients. And I think that helped a lot because I was helping them with the training in the gym, and then they could take the nutrition information home with them. When I got to the point where my schedule was so full I couldn't take more clients, I figured one way that I could help more people was to take this manual that only my personal training clients were getting and turn it into an actual book. I just had to kind of massage it a little bit so it was cohesive in the form of a book, and that's what became Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle. And I first published that in 2002, and then I heard about ebooks back in 2003, and since then it's been an internet bestseller. And I think, why does it work so well? Well, you know, I personally was never overweight or obese. People ask me that sometimes because they wonder, you know, if I could relate to them. But I did struggle with body fat when I was a teenager, and I never got ripped to the point where I could see my abs until I finally made a commitment to compete in a bodybuilding competition, and I was 20 years old. And that contest diet was the most effective diet I had ever tried after 5-6 years of trying just about everything. And I really thought that I was onto something. And it really makes sense, too, if you think about it, because when you look at what bodybuilders and physique athletes, which today that includes figure and fitness, a figure wasn't around back when I first started, but when you look at these physiques, they're the leanest muscular athletes in the world. So you look at that and you say, well, what are they doing? If I do find out what they're doing, and if I do the same thing, shouldn't I get similar results? And I believe that's true. The only catch is some people will say, well, wait a minute, these bodybuilders, a lot of them take steroids, which unfortunately a lot of times that's true. But I chose to do it the all-natural way, the drug-free way of doing things. And I'm not as big as the pro bodybuilders in the open competitions, But I think most people would say that they prefer the natural physique because the naturals don't have that massive bulk, both the men and the women, depending on what division they're going in. But you can naturally get totally ripped with a really great body shape if you know how to eat like the bodybuilders
right.
eat. So it doesn't take drugs. It doesn't take any kind of pills or supplements. If you just borrow some of the ideas from physique athletes and do what they do, apply maybe not everything they do, but apply a few of the principles that they use, you're going to get similar results. And if your goal is to get ripped, to get all the way to six-pack abs, I don't think there's any better way to do it. And that's what Burn Fat Feed the Muscle is. That, in fact, if you look on the subtitle of the book, it's called Fat Burning Secrets of the World's Best Bodybuilders and Fitness Models.
Right. Well, that's awesome. I know for myself, in fact, I found my abs basically the same way. I mean, you have to watch what you eat, and what they say is you can't out-train a bad diet.
Mm-hmm.
And working out is important, but diet's vitally important to burning fat, for sure. Okay, well, that's great. For anybody who's interested in grabbing the book, I'll throw a link up for you, but if anybody who's just listening in here, you can go to gwnn.me, that's like girl with no name, .me/burn-the-fat-feed-the-muscle, and you can grab the book there. But moving on, I wanted to know a little bit more about your second book as well. I know this one isn't an e-book, but you can get it in most bookstores and on Amazon and also as an audiobook version. This one's different, though. Still lots of great workout and nutrition advice, but this one focuses mostly on mindset. And I was wondering if you could tell us why mindset is so vitally important.
Yeah, it is different. The Body Fat Solution is my newest book that I just published last year. It's a hardcover. Actually, it's a hardcover, the one that was published in January of 2009. And this year, the paperback is just about to come out, but it is a physical book, not an e-book.
Right.
My goal was to reach a broader audience. The Body Fat Solution is not a bodybuilding program. I wanted to create something that would appeal to more people. I mean, potentially millions of people would be able to follow it. And these are people who have what I would call everyday problems, stress. They're pressed for time. The motivation comes and goes. They struggle with emotional eating. These are the types of things that most people have struggles with every day when they're trying to get leaner. And usually the bodybuilding competitor doesn't have all of the same types of problems. So this new book is going to give regular people some of the more emotional and psychological tools to get the kind of results that they want. So I don't give just the nutritional mechanics and the training mechanics, but I go over the mental and emotional and even social strategies. These are the things that help people stick with the training and the nutrition, because that's the most difficult part for most people. It's not getting the information. Most people already have a program. They just can't stick with it.
Right.
You know, the way I see it, I think the diet wars are pretty much over. I mean, it's been low carb, high, back and forth to, you know, what's the best diet for years. Well, the studies have been done now. There are major trials that have been published that compare low carb to high carb to the zone to calorie control and everything in between. Long term, it doesn't matter as much as you think it does, the percentage of macronutrients and so on. It's not what program you follow that's the most important. What's most important is what makes you follow your program.
Right.
And what makes you follow your program? Mindset, mental and emotional side of things, and to another degree, the people you hang out with. You know, you are what you eat. Yeah, you are the exercise you get. Sure, but you're also what you think, and you're also who you hang out with. So in the Body Fat Solution, I teach physical training plus mental training plus emotional control, looking at your belief systems, taking a look at your attitudes, how negative attitudes can affect your behavior, looking at your value systems, looking at unconscious programming, that stuff in your head that makes people self-sabotage themselves and, you know, explain strange behavior, like you wander over like a zombie to the refrigerator and next thing you know you're looking at the bottom of an empty ice cream container.
Yeah.
You know, why? Why do we do that? You know, bottom line is getting in shape is about action. You got to take action. But my question is, what makes you take action? I mean, if you really think about it, the action comes from the mental programming.
Yeah.
And what you think about expresses itself physically. So if you do just physical training and you neglect mental training, you're only going to get as far as willpower is going to take you. And for most people, that's not very far.
Right. Yeah, I find that for myself as well. I've turned working out into a habit for myself. I barely even have the inner dialogues anymore. I just get up, and the first set of clothing I put on is my workout clothing because there's just no internal argument with myself anymore. And that's a lot to do with the way I program myself and my own mindset. So that I believe that that's the person I am now, that I'm a person who works out, takes good care of myself. And when I go to the grocery store, my default is to read labels every time. Every single time. And if there's one thing on there I don't agree with, I won't buy it. And almost never will I buy packaged food anyway. It's just, it's my default now. I go straight into the produce section, and that's where I do all my grocery playing. So I totally agree with you about mindset and mental programming and that kind of thing. So for anybody who's interested in picking up a body fat solution, again, it's not available in ebook format, but you can grab it on Amazon if you don't feel like hitting the bookstore. And you can get that at gwnn.me/BFS hardcover. And you can get the audiobook version at gwnn.me/BFS audiobook. So thanks for that, Tom. Let's get further into the nitty-gritty now of debunking a few myths about, like, the latest big deal out there lately seems to be everybody in this trainer shaking their fingers in our noses telling us that cardio, quote-unquote cardio, per se, is ineffective. I think that a lot of trainers are using the word cardio in the wrong way, and I wanted to get your scoop on the real scoop on cardio. What is cardio, and what's the best way to train with cardio? And when gurus out there say don't do cardio, what do they really mean by that?
Good question. It's very interesting debates out there, especially on the internet. Well, I think it's pretty silly to say that cardio is ineffective, especially being that that's such a vague term and a vague statement. But first, I know that anecdote is probably the weakest form of evidence, but let me give you mine anyways, my personal example. I competed 28 times in bodybuilding, and for the first 26 of 28 competitions, I did almost all of my cardio, slow, steady state, long-duration cardio, and in every case, I got ripped to shreds. Mm-hmm. So for the people who say that long, slow cardio doesn't work, the first thing I want to know is how they can explain that. But if you look at science instead of just the real-world results, if you go through all the research or if you set up a clinical study where calorie intake is controlled, and that's the key here is that food intake is controlled instead of being self-reported because people always underreport how much they eat, you will find a direct relationship between the amount of activity, including cardio, you do and the amount of weight you lose. Direct, confirmable relationship. Problem is a lot of people do cardio and then they eat more.
Right.
But all activity, all activity, walking, slow cardio, housework, it all adds up. In fact, there's some really interesting research on non-exercise activity thermogenesis, which is called NEAT. And actually, it is entirely possible during a day to burn more calories with miscellaneous activity throughout the day than you would in your workouts. And that contributes to weight loss. And yet people say that low-intensity activity doesn't do anything, and it doesn't make any sense if you look at the research. So, you know, basically the more calories you burn, the more fat you lose. I think we should get away from the semantics behind the word cardio and look at calories burned. If all else remains equal, burn more calories, you lose more fat. But, you know, there are some reasons why the gurus say they don't like cardio. Sometimes, unfortunately, it's a marketing thing. Sometimes it's a personal bias. And sometimes that bias is justified. Like if you take a strength and conditioning coach who's training power strength athletes, I think they're pretty justified in not recommending a lot of cardio for fat loss. I mean, get the guys – there's other kind of conditioning work that they could do, or they could tighten up their diet instead of doing a whole ton of cardio. So it does depend on what your goals are. But the question is, how do you define cardio? You hear all the time, cardio sucks, cardio doesn't work, cardio depletes your hormones, cardio burns muscle. Here's a gem. Cardio makes you fatter. I have actually seen that on a couple websites. I mean, explain that one. But in the next breath, they tell their clients to do this kind of training, and they call it energy system work.
Right.
Well, what do they mean by energy system work? Oh, you mean cardio, but do your cardio in intervals instead of in a steady state.
Right. Cardio is cardio. It's just done differently.
So in one breath, they say cardio sucks, and then in the next breath they say go do interval cardio, but they call it something else. So some people just are using different words for the same thing. But you know, I guess the next debate would be long slow cardio versus interval cardio. I think that there are some major advantages of interval training over slow cardio. And if the people who are against steady state cardio wanted to do a little more justice and to be a little more accurate in their description, instead of saying bad things about steady state, what they would say is that instead of saying steady state cardio is ineffective, they'd say it's inefficient. It's not as time efficient compared to higher intensity cardio like intervals, because it's totally possible to burn just as many calories, let's say like in a 25-minute interval workout that's intense, as you could like in an hour of slow, like a slow walk. But that doesn't mean the slow walk was ineffective. It just took twice as long.
Right.
That,
maybe,
that makes sense?
Maybe boring as well.
That too, sure.
One of the things that they say about cardio, slow, steady-state cardio is that it's boring, and what kind of compliance rate will you get with people that have to be on a treadmill for an hour, you know?
Sure, but everybody's different. I mean, on the other hand, I have a bike at home, and I don't watch a lot of TV, but I do sometimes watch, like I'll buy a season of something, and the DVD with no commercials is like 50 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pop in a TV, sit on my bike, and I'm not going all that hard, and I'll ride for 50 minutes, and because I'm watching something, the time flies right by. So,
you know what it would stop the average Joe from putting stuff in their mouth while they're watching TV too, wouldn't it?
Perfect.
Sit on a bike.
Right.
Okay, well, so that kind of clears up cardio a little bit. Let's talk about strength training for a couple of seconds. If someone's just starting out, a strength training program, in your best advice, what's something that they should definitely make sure that they're doing with their workouts? Is there one really important thing for them to know, or too many?
Well, at the risk of stating the extremely obvious, they should be doing strength training in the first place.
Right.
And the only reason I point that out is because you'd figure that today everybody just should know that you should be lifting weights to get the best results. And in the serious fitness crowd, I know you're pretty serious about fitness. You know, I've been a bodybuilder for 25 years, and I don't know, you know, who your audience is, but I do know that in a serious fitness crowd, we really take it for granted that weightlifting is just like a habit every day. It's part of our lifestyle. But the masses, most people, don't lift weights. And there's two groups of people that shy away, especially. And one is, I think, some overweight, you know, big people who figure that, well, the best way just to start getting the weight off is just go on a diet, maybe some cardio, and maybe I'll go do some walking. But they could definitely benefit from starting with weight training right away. And the second group is women who are still – I can't believe this myth is still around, but they're still worried about turning into Miss Olympia overnight.
Yeah.
Just by, you know, picking
up some
weight. One
of my pet peeves.
Yeah. So absolutely, strength training it should be at the top of the hierarchy. It helps to put your training into a hierarchy of importance. That's kind of like the 80-20 rule, if you've heard of that before. The important few need to go in first before the trivial many. And I would go as far as saying that the weights go above the cardio. So if you want to get back to that cardio debate, I agree. Weight training should go in place first. So if you take the person who's really busy and they want efficiency, I would rather see them get their nutrition nailed down really tight first and then do weight training. And then with the time that they're willing and available to put in, then they start adding cardio. So it is a matter of efficiency again. And you know, most important to those of us who train for vanity, and let's fess up, that would be all of us, because who doesn't want to look good naked? For cosmetics, nothing gives you results like weight training.
Right.
You know, my mentality as a bodybuilder is I just look at the body as a piece of art. You know, you can literally carve out and sculpt your body to make it look however you want with weight training, because of all the tools you have with weight training, and you can't achieve that with other types of training or with just aerobics. And as long as you can get the fat off because you got the nutrition nailed down so that you can see that work of art underneath, the weight training is what will do that and the cardio won't.
Right. But, of course, again, we go back to diet being very, very important, because you can weight train like crazy and not have your diet nailed, and you're going to put a lot of muscle underneath a lot of fat. And
that doesn't look good.
Aesthetically pleasing. No. So, okay, well, so if someone's just starting out with a weight training program then, how and they're kind of working it on their own or they've gone to the gym on their own, what's your best advice for how to get their form down? Because we all know form is really important. You don't want to get into any injury situations where you're not doing your form correctly and pulling something or straining something. What can someone do to monitor their own form or to find out how to do it correctly?
Well, get help.
Yeah.
Everybody has to start off as a beginner, and so there's going to be a learning curve. And the best way to shorten any learning curve is to get a coach, get a mentor, so then you can take a straight path from the beginning instead of, you know, zigzagging back and forth by trial and error. You cut a lot of trial and error away if you get a good coach or mentor. You know, I still tell a lot of people to hire a trainer, and they kind of stick their nose up at it for one reason or another, whether it's financial or not. But even if you can't afford to work with a trainer all the time, I think one of the best investments you could ever make in yourself as a beginner is to start with a trainer.
Yeah. And, can I make a point? And one of the
yes.
things you shouldn't do is just look around you in the gym and copy people. Because those people don't necessarily know what they're doing. And I've worked out with a few people who are not paying attention to me, and they're looking at other people, and their focus comes off me, and they start to do what the other person's doing. It's like, stop, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? You know, that's one of my biggest pet peeves is copycatting and thinking just because that person is there in the gym and is maybe looks buff that they know what they're doing.
Well, that's a really good point, that the person with the best physique isn't necessarily the one who's most knowledgeable. You know, if you follow those people, you know, down the few years down the road, they might be ending up with all kinds of injuries and consequences of the way they train, or you never know what's going on behind the scenes. You know, as a natural bodybuilder, I think my eyes have opened up a lot as to how many people really are taking steroids and physique-enhancing drugs. Even the guy on the other side of the gym that you're looking at who's got a great body, so you look at them and you assume, oh, they know what they're doing, but there could be more than meets the eye.
Right, right. So I just wanted to go back a little bit and touch base about that whole women bulking up situation, because I know I've got a lot of female friends who really don't listen to me when I tell them that they can lift heavy and not bulk up. They're convinced that they will. I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit more on why their fears are unfounded.
I think a lot of it's the psychological, the emotional differences between men and women, the way they approach this. But, you know, when it comes to fitness and body composition change, there's really not as much difference between men and women in the way they should train as a lot of people believe. And it's also, you know, kind of like with the cardio thing, it's semantics. If you say lift weights to tone up, it doesn't bother most women, but if you say lift weights to build muscle, it kind of freaks them out.
Right.
I think that one of the major reasons that a lot of women are afraid of weight training is they've seen either in pictures or in person what female bodybuilders look like.
Mm-hmm.
And what they don't realize is that a lot of female bodybuilders who actually compete, meaning they actually get on stage, they take steroids too.
Right. And they're in the gym for 5 hours a day.
Yeah, that too. And, well, even if you look at, let's say you look at a figure competitor or the fitness girls, maybe someplace like Oxygen Magazine, or if you go to a show, when I ask most women, what do you think about how those girls look compared to the bodybuilders, usually they say, oh, they look great, they look beautiful, feminine, hot, they would love to look like that.
Right.
But you know what got them that way? 10 years of training sometimes, 5 years of training, you know, 7 to 10 hours a week of training, serious training. The way they look is a lot of times that's the end result of years of training. It's not easy to look like that. It's not easy to gain muscle. And when women gain muscle, it actually, what most women refer to as tone, or muscle hardness or firmness, that's what they get from weight training. They don't get, most women don't get muscular bulk. And even if you are the type of woman who does gain muscle easily, you're in control. It's not like you're going to wake up one morning and look in the mirror and it's like, oh, my God, I gained 20 pounds of muscle.
Right.
You know, like I said, you're the artist. You're the sculptor. You just add a little bit here and carve off a little bit of fat there, and you're in charge of your shape. If you don't like the way you start to look, you can change your training style. You can, you know, start to use you don't use bodybuilder hypertrophy programs. You can use a little bit less weight, higher density training, conditioning training, metabolic training, whatever, but keep lifting weights. But that's not going to happen to most women. I think 95% of women they're not going to gain muscle size. They're going to look more feminine, more curvier, harder, leaner, firmer. What weight training does to you just can't be duplicated with other kinds of training.
Right. And just to elaborate on that a little bit as well, I believe that some ladies would go out there and start lifting weights, and if they put on even just a little bit of muscle, if they're putting it on underneath fat, then suddenly they think they're bulking up, when in fact they just have to get their diet under control.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens when the body fat gets really low. If you've never, ever been really lean before, you'd be amazed at what the muscle starts to look like when the fat comes off.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, so let's get back to mindset for a sec, too. More about social support, though, support of friends, family, community, that kind of thing. Do you think that that's pretty important in getting the right mindset?
Oh, yeah. It's one of the, I would call it the missing key. When I first wrote my book, Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle, back in 2002, I used to say this is the most complete program because I cover mindset. I cover nutrition. I cover cardio training, weight training, and mental training, the four key elements. But, you know, I'm always looking for ways to improve, and I'm looking for ways to help people stick with a program better. Anything that helps you stick with your program better is a good thing to add to your program. And one of those things is the support from other people and the encouragement from other people. And you could get that from friends. You get it from family. You can get it from a trainer, from training partners. It gives you accountability. It gives you motivation. If they've succeeded before you, it gives you inspiration. And when you multiply that out over many people because you're part of a group or a community, then it's just it's not like linear. It's like exponential, the type of it's just such a positive energy when you plug in and you get this a sense of belonging, and especially when it's a group of positive and like-minded people instead of, you know, most people all day long, like in the office or wherever, they're surrounded by a bunch of energy vampires and that just drain you all day long.
Right.
And, you know, and that really, really pulls you down. So you need to take control of your social environment and get around the people that are going to lift you up, especially if you can't get away from some of those negative people. If you can't get away from them, you have to counterbalance it by getting connecting with the positive people. So it's kind of even. And that was my goal with starting an Inner Circle, which is just a community, an online support community. And I called that the fifth piece of the puzzle, like the fifth element. You got nutrition, you got mental training, which is the goal setting and the psychology side of things. You have cardio training, weight training, and the social support. That's a really powerful formula when you put all that together.
Yeah, well, that was for me as well. When I first decided a few years ago that I mean, I've always been semi-athletic and lean, but never ever had been able to see my abs before. And I set out the goal for myself. That's it. I'm going to see my abs. And I didn't really find myself with a whole lot of social support, just the circles I was hanging out in, not a lot of really heavy workout people involved there. And it was when I got online and started making connections with people like yourself and some of the other guys out there, that, as well as some other people who had similar goals, suddenly I had this huge amount of support. And on Twitter as well, like Twitter was a huge tool for me. I started using it for accountability and tweeting out my meals and my workouts, and suddenly I had this huge community of people standing behind me in support, and suddenly it became, I didn't feel so alone, and, you know, a lot more supported. So when I found out about your Inner Circle, I'm really quite excited about the fact that your Inner Circle is available to, for the longest time, your Inner Circle has been available just to people who purchased your book, right?
Well, most of the people hear about it that way.
Yeah.
But it's been open to the public since 2006. We just didn't advertise it very much. It was just kind of like a best-kept secret within our, you know, within the Burn the Fat community.
Right. Well, tell us more about what's inside the Inner Circle. I'm sure people would be dying to know that.
Well, of course we have the forums because, like I said, I first and foremost would call it a support community. And it's a members-only community, so it's a really very different vibe than the public boards. You don't have what do you call it when people flaming,
yeah,
flaming
right.
each other and you know, we were talking about the cardio. It's a big debate, you know, and sometimes it turns almost into fights on public forums, and it's it's really a different energy when you have a members-only community of people that are like-minded and on the same path as you. And it's just it's really a great energy because it's a members-only community. So that's one side of it. But it's also what I would call a like a knowledge base where I've been answering questions for the last 3 years in there and archiving the questions.
Okay, so you personally, though, you, not helpers, but you personally are going in there and answering questions from people who have posting.
Yeah, I answer the questions not only for my members on the message boards, but also I do almost all of the writing. I've written something like 400 articles in there, and all the questions that keep coming up when it's a frequently asked question on the forums, I archive it and I write it up and I put it in a question and answer column. So now at this point, after all these years, just about every question you can come up with is already archived, and you can do a search and find it. And then if you can't find the question you're looking for, then you hop on the forums and you just ask me. So, yeah, we have all the information at your fingertips, and it's some of it's in writing, some of it's audio. We do an audio show. We do audio interviews with experts, people who interview me. I upload those, too. One of my favorites is the success story interviews. We'll get some of the people who've lost a lot of weight and interview them to find out what worked the best for them. And we have a whole archive of success story interviews, and it's inspirational and it's motivational,
definitely.
But it's also really informational. I mean, I learn a lot of things that I didn't know. I mean, I that's one of the reasons I keep doing these success story interviews. They're not testimonials. These are like hour-long interviews, and we just pick people's brains and like, how did you do it? What worked for you? What was life like before? What did you do that worked best for you? What didn't work? And it's just, I have a lot of those in my own iPod, and I listen to them over and again because I get so much value out of them myself.
Right. Right on. Well, I mean, I'm personally very excited about the Inner Circle because of like what all of the tools that you just mentioned and the fact that it's just a huge community of supportive people who are in it just like we are, you know, to be fit and to be healthy and to support each other, which is great. So for anybody who's interested in joining up on the Inner Circle, I've got a link for you here, and that's gwnn.me/burnthefatinnercircle. But now, further to the mindset thing and all that, I want to get into the real reason we're all here. And there's been a lot of buzz out there about this, but you're starting up a fantastic, and may I just say as well, groundbreaking transformation contest right now. And it's closing in a couple of days, so you better tell us all about it in a rush.
Yeah, well, this is new for me. I know that transformation contests aren't new in the fitness world. You really got to give credit to Bill Phillips and his brother Sean Phillips for being the pioneers with their Body for Life transformation contest. I mean, that goes back to the 90s, and it got huge. And I think a lot of us who've been in the business that long, 10, 15 years, and we watched that launch and we watched how successful it was at, we looked at it and we thought, yeah, that's a great idea. But I don't think I really appreciated just how powerful a transformation contest is until this past week we opened up the not only the registration, but we have a rolling start date for our contest. So some people already started last week, and they're like on day three, day four, and other people are going to start today and tomorrow, and the day after that is the last day.
Right.
But, you know, as I watched Body for Life for all those years and was really impressed with what they did and with the transformations people made, and then I watched other people do it, their own versions of transformation contests. And I always thought it was a brilliant idea. I knew it was a great idea for business and promotion, and I thought it was a great idea for motivation. But I guess I just procrastinated on doing it because I figured, well, it's already been done, and there's other contests. I don't want to do something that somebody else has already done and just be a copycat. So then it dawned on me that, well, why don't I do something different that's never been done before?
Yeah, and this is what blows my mind.
Yeah, so my idea was instead of doing a fitness contest, say, to shape up for summer, you know, there's a lot of contests either in the spring to get ready for summer or during the summer because people want to be ripped in the summer, or instead of starting a contest for New Year's resolution time, I figured why not do a fitness challenge over the holidays?
Yeah, and that's what blows my mind, because a transformation contest over the holidays, to me, it almost feels like a bit of a dangerous territory because there's just so much temptation out there this time of the year. Can people really do it?
Well, I think that's exactly because there's a lot of temptation and we have these holidays. That's exactly why it's the best time of the year to do it.
Yeah.
It's the best time to set goals and to get serious. I think it's dangerous if you don't.
Yeah, I agree.
And there's a myth that everybody gains weight over the holidays. A lot of people do. I think the figure we always hear is the average person gains 5 to 10 pounds. I actually, before I ran this contest, I wanted to see if there was research, and there was. The New England Journal of Medicine and a couple other journals actually wrote up studies on holiday weight gain. And New England Journal of Medicine said that, yeah, people gain weight over the holidays. They said it was only about a pound, but then they found out something else that most people didn't know, that this is the kind of weight that people never lose. So they gain a pound every year, and then, you know, they slip up a couple times during the year. This explains why people wake up one morning at age 40 and suddenly they're 30 or 40 or 50 pounds heavier than they were when they were 20 because of weight creep.
Right.
Because they don't stay consistent all year round. They don't realize the danger times when the weight could creep up, and the holidays is one of them. And, you know, some people do slap on 10, 15 pounds over the holiday, but I think the reason is people don't try because they think it's a bad time to start. So they make excuses, they procrastinate another 6 weeks, then they start rationalizing, well, you know, I'm just too busy, I'm traveling, I'm more stressed, you know, the food's there, you know, what the heck, I'm not going to deprive myself. It's only 3 weeks or 4 weeks, I let myself go wild. But, you know, with that kind of thinking, you're basically strengthening the procrastination habit,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to be more likely to put it off in the future. And another problem is the mindset that people have going into this is it's dichotomous thinking. It's they're all or none thinkers or they're either or thinkers. They figure, well, I'm either going to have a good time over the holidays and eat the good food, or I'll get in shape, but there's no way I could do both.
Right.
Well, why not?
I do both.
Why not? Yeah. Why not? I think it's negative and faulty thinking. So if you think about it, it's really it, – doesn't even make sense because the type of nutrition programs that I recommend, and I don't know about you, but you probably do the same thing. Do you have free meals or cheat meals throughout the
year? Absolutely.
There you go. So
absolutely.
What's different about the holidays? Why isn't Thanksgiving just one of your free meals? And why isn't Christmas one of your free meals and New Year's?
Yeah.
And if you have a few parties in there in between, I mean, really, is that more than 10% of the meals you're going to eat? So we need to start off with a little shift in mindset that, hey, this is the best time to do it because we have to, and also because we're going to end the year strong. It feels good to end the year on a high note,
mm-hmm.
and it feels good to start the year off on the right foot. So
yeah.
I think that this is the perfect time to do it. And all people need is a vehicle to do something to just trigger the ignition switch. And that's why I put together the contest. And I went all out and put something together that was really structured. It was a real contest and had some great motivation. The support community has been multiplied by, I mean, literally thousands of more people have come into the community.
Yeah, fantastic.
Because of this. And we set this up in teams specifically so that even though it's already a forum and a support community, inside that support community, now you get groups of people working together. So everybody's just going to be feeding off of each other's energy. And this is 50 days. It's 7 weeks because we're going to go into the first week of January.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to see some of the before and afters. I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah, me too. Should be very, very interesting and exciting too. And now tell me about the other thing that kind of blows my mind, which is your prizes. You're giving away some pretty awesome rewards for coming
yes,
in
we
the
are.
Top category, right?
Jamaica, man.
Yeah, man.
Jamaica. We are gonna pick a women's overall champion, and she's going to win 6 days, 5 nights, vacation for two to the 7 Mile Beach at Negril, Jamaica.
Wow.
And it's an all-inclusive resort. Everything is right there on the premises. Mm-hmm. And the men's champion and his guest is also going to get the same thing. So that's actually two champions and four people we're going to send to Jamaica.
Wow.
And that's just two champions and their guest. So we're going to do some other categories too. We're doing subcategories. Most inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to vote for somebody who overcome some kind of obstacles or has the best positive attitude at the same time making a great transformation. The most ripped is self-explanatory. Most
yeah.
muscular, people. Some people are already lean. We've got a lot of people who have already burned the fat, so to speak, and now they're adding lean body mass. So I figured, why not give them something to compete towards? So
yeah, well, now I'm going to enter then. I didn't realize you had that category.
We certainly, yeah, we do. And it's not a weight loss contest. The person who loses the most weight is not necessarily going to win. The person who has the best body composition transformation is going to win. And that's, yeah, there is the body weight on the scale, but also a body fat test. And then mm-hmm. with those two things, we can calculate lean body mass, pounds of fat. We'll look at that. That's one third of the score. Then there's before and after pictures. That's one third of the score. And then there's going to be an essay at the end, and that's one third of the score. And then we have a most supportive as well, because, again, we got the teams in there, and there's going to be a top team award. But also an individual most supportive award, because we want to encourage everybody to help each other. It is a competition, but we're really not competing against each other here. It's competing for personal best.
Right.
Because in a bodybuilding or a figure contest, the guys or the girls are up on the stage, and in an absolute sense, the best physique wins.
Mm-hmm.
But in this contest, it's the best improvement from before to mm-hmm. after.
So anybody's got a chance to win in that case.
Absolutely. And we're giving out a whole slew of iPods and Kindles and Nanos and for all those category winners, plus a whole bunch of books and memberships and e-books. So, yeah, we're really excited, and we still got a couple of days left that people can enter.
Oh, good. So if anybody who wants to enter, you should get over there right now. You can link over to gwnn.me/burnthefatchallenge. Should hop over there right now. But if they do get over there right now, Tom, what do they have to do to enter?
Well, anybody who already has my ebook, the Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle ebook,
mm-hmm.
is already eligible to enter.
Oh, okay, great.
Yep, and there's no fee. So basically, I already sent out invitations last week to everybody who is on my customer list and said, no fee, doesn't cost you anything to enter. Just come on over and enter. For people who aren't a part of our community or are not a customer yet, they can get on board too. They just purchase a copy of the ebook or join the inner circle, and then that gives them automatic registration.
Right, and those two items are great deals in and of themselves. Being able to enter the contest over and above that, to me, is a huge bonus.
Right. Well, that's the I guess obviously that's the official nutrition program of the Holiday Challenge, is the Burn the Fat program. And the training, we're pretty flexible in terms of what training you follow. Burn the Fat comes with a training program, but I did realize that not everybody follows bodybuilding training. So basically, I said follow the Burn the Fat nutrition program, do your choice of strength training program and a cardio training program. You have the motivation here and the psychology tools, and you have the support. So that's all five of those pieces of the puzzle that's all plugged into this contest. It's really... It really is groundbreaking. It really is.
Yeah, it is. It has all the elements. It's over a time of year most people don't opt to put a contest, and it's got some fantastic prizes. It's got everything.
The judges will have their hands full.
Yeah, I think you guys
got our work cut out for us.
Definitely going to have your hands full, for sure. So, and the contest closes pretty quickly, so exactly when does that close?
The day before Thanksgiving is the last day you can register.
So this coming Wednesday?
Yeah, the first day that you have to have started the 50-day challenge is Thanksgiving Day.
Okay.
This way it includes all three holidays. Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's are all a part of this contest.
So is there a time of day that the website's actually coming down and people can't register anymore, or how does that work?
Well, the site is up 24/7, 365,
mm-hmm.
But the entry form will be closed. And if somebody were to submit their entry form even 1 minute after midnight on Wednesday, they won't get in, because we've had a huge window of time, a week, a rolling start date of a week period that people could enroll. And we still have 2 days, almost 2.5 days left that people can get in.
So is that midnight EST or midnight PST?
Pacific time for our California friends. Yep.
Okay, great. That's fair. I'm on
yep.
the West Coast too.
Yep. Oh, yeah, and for our Vancouver, right?
That's right, Vancouver, where it's horrible and rainy today, but... things have been looking a lot more cheery since I got on the phone with you, Tom. So just remind anybody out there of the link to get onto the Burn the Fat Challenge. It's gwnn.me/burnthefatchallenge. So if you want to get in there now, hop in there. So, Tom, I think that we've covered a whole bunch of stuff today.
Yeah, this has been great.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And I thank you very much for your time, because I know you must absolutely be just swamped considering this contest. So giving me some of your time today, and all of our listeners some of your time today, has just been absolutely golden for me.
Yes, my pleasure.
Thank you profusely for that.
Thank you.
And I better let you get back to work now, huh?
Yeah, I got lots of work to do.
All right. Well, thanks again, and take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care.